Hey, it's Podcast Wednesday, and that means another episode of the Girl Unlimited podcast, the podcast dedicated to seeing you breaking barriers, living fully, loving abundantly, and being all you were created to be. This is our core, guys. This is what Girl Unlimited is all about. And I'm so excited about today's episode because my guest today is an embodiment of all that and then some. She's truly breaking barriers and living fully, even though that wasn't always the case. And you'll hear all about her journey and transition in this episode. Speaking of living fully, our reigning monarch, Queen Elizabeth II, celebrates her platinum jubilee tomorrow. That is 70 years on the throne, guys. Not really sure why I find this fact so fascinating. Maybe it's because very few monarchs have achieved such a feat, and it is unlikely that any monarch will achieve that, at least in the near future, or at least not here in the UK. I mean, we're talking 70 years, guys. That's more than either of my parents were alive. But I can't help but wonder if in all her 96 years, and that's 70 years of which she's been on the throne, she feels she's ran her course and has lived fully. I sure hope so, because I do hope that when I am 96 one day, I can say that I lived fully and used up every single potential I possessed. Maybe a high and lofty desire, and possibly even impossible, but I certainly want to be at least on the path to doing that. Just like my guest in today's episode, Bola Obileye thinks legacy and passing on a worthy baton to the next generation. And I dare say she's certainly on her way. Bola puts the word multi-passionate or multi-creative to shame. She is a singer, she's a songwriter, she's a fashion eccentric with her own clothing line, an MC, a brand specialist, business owner, and the list just goes on and on. In the episode, we speak about some of the many pots that she has her hands in, including being an award-winning founder of Jitterbug Apple Cider Vinegar, which is a gut health-friendly soft drink alternative. Oh, and guess what? Jitterbug recently won a huge nationwide listing across 630 Holland and Barrett stores in the UK and Ireland. Isn't that amazing? Well, we talk about all this as well as how she manages to fit everything in, as well as how she manages to find sleep, let alone be a wife and a mum. What to me stands out so much about Bola is her online presence. When you encounter her, I promise you won't be forgetting her anytime soon. Her 1950s inspired personal style gives you a little insight into her truly unique outlook to life and work. I know I say it all the time, guys, because I truly, truly love all my guests, but I am sure you are in for a treat today. And I just want to say thank you in advance for taking the time to listen. My name is T-Ari, and you're listening to the Girl Unlimited podcast. Gracing us with your beautiful presence on the Girl Unlimited podcast. How are you doing today?
I am fabulous. Thank you so much, T, for having me. Been looking forward to this. Finally, we're here.
I know. Well, second time lucky, hopefully. Guys, this is the second time we're trying to record this episode. For some reason, we're just having technical issues. I've really been looking forward to this episode because I know you all will get some real value from it. So I was saying last week when we tried to record that, you know, you responded to one of my emails, you know, and you were saying, you know, you were thanking me for sticking, you know, with or persisting to get you on the podcast. But I was saying that, you know, it's because I knew that it was going to be an amazing podcast. And I know that you're the quintessential girl unlimited, really. So it didn't make any sense not having you on the podcast, however long it was going to take getting you on. So thank you for saying yes.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Really kind of you.
Okay, so like I was saying, you are the quintessential girl unlimited. You are living fully. You're breaking barriers, first of all, and you're living fully and you're loving abundantly, because everything you do, you attack it with passion. I can see it. We all, anyone who has the fortune to see how you show up, especially online, knows that you are attacking what you're doing with so much passion and love for what you do. And you are being the best that you were created to be. So I guess the first question that that came to my mind was, is there anything that you don't do? Because you have so many, you cut across so many genres and so many niches. And I've just been an admirer from afar. So is there anything you can't do just out of interest?
It's amazing that you see from that point of view, especially because I started out life thinking I had zero talent. I didn't think I had anything to offer. And I would like grumble and say that, oh my goodness, I have no gift, nothing, nothing. And I think God must have heard me and he slapped me with a few. And suddenly just felt like I just felt so alive with so many things I wanted to do, I wanted to try out and just achieve. And, you know, the beautiful thing is the more you do one thing and the more you kind of like have marginal success, the more you realize that, oh, well, I can actually do this. And it gives you more oomph and you try to do more things and you just find that, yeah, why do one thing when you can do so much more? So, yeah, it was just one thing leading to another, really.
Wow. Just to give our listeners some context. So Bola came on my radar a few years ago on Instagram. I can't remember how. So, and her Instagram handle at the time was Bola Sings, right? But Bola Sings was this persona. She was presenting this persona of this, you know, so she's looked like she stepped out of a glam magazine from the 50s to start with.
Oh, wow.
And then she was giving health and nutrition advice. So I was like, what is the connection? So she obviously sings. She is a songwriter. She's a designer. She's a brand consultant. She's an MC. She's a product business owner. And like I said, the list goes on. So I guess the next question to then ask is, but I always like to go way back and play this, play detective. And, you know, I try to connect the dots. And I'm like, was there anything in your childhood or the way you grew up that alluded to the fact that you will be this person you are today? Apart from the fact you've already mentioned that, you know, I mean, you didn't think you had any talent, but I'm sure there was something when you were younger that probably has led to where you are today, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. I think looking back now, I can see that, you know, it was always in me. And sometimes you just need to shake yourself up a bit like when salt settled underwater, you just need to stir it up a bit. When I was younger, I was just, so my mom has 6 kids. I'm number 5. And I remember her just constantly saying that the rest of them didn't give me all this drama. Why you? And it wasn't like I was a bad kid or anything, but I was just always very adventurous, very curious, very, they said, don't climb the tree. Why not? Let's do it. You know, I was just always asking questions that nobody else dared to ask. And it didn't feel like I was doing anything out of the ordinary. It just felt like, so what is the reason behind this? It just felt like very natural to me. And I know that used to really stress my parents out because they just used to think that, why can't you just respect boundaries? Girls are not supposed to play football. And I was like, why not? I enjoy football, you know? So I think it was always there. But I think just with everything else in life, you start to connect the dots, as you say, as you grow older, things start to make sense to you. Because I know that because my mom thought it was a bit out of this world to want to play with the boys or play football and all of that, you start asking yourself questions after a while that, how come I want to do these things that no other girl wants to do? And after a while, you start feeling a little bit weird and you start to lose confidence in certain areas and not want to show up to the world as who you really are because you're trying to fit in. I think somewhere along the line, that caught up with me, and I tried to normalize my life by, you know, doing one thing, but it was always a struggle for me because I always wanted to do more than one thing. So in a way, I'll sneak and do some other things and then get caught. And then have to explain it out. Yeah, I'm just playing with it. It's not really serious. But yeah, I think as I grew older, I got more confident with showing up as whoever I felt like on the day, during the week. If I really felt a burst of energy to create clothes, I would. If I felt that I really wanted to sing, I would. And I think that came along the line, but probably later on in life than I should have when I was younger, just because I was trying to fit in. So sorry for the long answer.
Oh boy, I can resonate with so many things you said. You know, this thing of wanting to be what everyone expects you to be, which is do one thing, specialize in just one thing. And I'm like, no, but I want to do so many other things. So, but you know, you spoke about specific words. You mentioned adventurous, you mentioned curious, and you mentioned not, you know, wanting to stay within the boundary lines, you know, and those are really characteristics of a multi-passionate, multi-talented, multi-creative person. So why should we try to change who we are? You know, so, but you've started several brands, you know, and I read that you've been running your businesses for the past 20 years. And have you always had the business bug, and or did you just go down that direction, and or did you do the usual start with 9 to 5 and then, you know, with a side hustle on the side and then work your way out?
Absolutely started with a regular job. So my mom has kind of like had her own business. She runs her own schools in Nigeria. So I've always seen her as someone that did her own thing. But I never really saw myself in that light. I thought I was going to be in a good job. I knew that even if I was working for someone, I would be successful at it because I just have a way of switching my mind to connect with what's happening, where I'm needed, that kind of thing. I've always seen myself as that employee that can fit in everywhere. So I go out and I offer myself to my employers like, okay, if by chance you need someone in the cloakroom, I can sort it out. It's not a problem. If you need someone in the front desk, if you need someone in the office, I've always just seen myself as someone that could fit in everything. But I never really saw myself as someone running a business. So I think I kind of like fell into it because my first sting was running a wedding magazine called Continental Bride. So this was like donkeys years ago, probably over, oh my goodness, probably over 17, 20 years ago. I just got married, and the struggle to just plan my own wedding as a Black woman, as a Nigerian, as an African with more than regular 100 people at your wedding. You know, when you buy all these wedding magazines, they're like, oh, it's for your 10 guests. I'm like, no, how about my 1,000 guests that are coming?
We don't roll like that.
I know, right? So it was really difficult. And I found that it wasn't just me. So that magazine was created just to accommodate our needs. In fact, things to do around our traditional wares, you know, looking for a bigger venue, everything connected to that. And that really went well. It was exciting. But knowing myself, I threw myself 1,000% into it. And it got a little bit tiring. But having said that, it was a good, good magazine. It was sold in Selfridges, Harrods. We sold quite a lot of copies in the US. It did really well. But I think going along the way, it was my first lesson in life that, you know, wherever you can outsource, outsource. I think I hopped on too many things and really got tired really quickly.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's life, isn't it? We learn from our mistakes, or we learn from ventures, and we are lifelong learners. That's another characteristic of a multi-creative person, because the reason we can do so many things is because we learn. We are voracious learners, aren't we? In different ways, either learners of life, learners of books. And you mentioned, I mean, just listening to you talk, I see that you are also passionate about plugging into a need. You saw a need, it was a need that you had, and then you plugged in. And it's the same thing you're doing with your Jitterbug apple cider vinegar tonics. And from what I understand, it's because there was a need. So could you tell us a bit more about that? By the way, guys, I mean, that brand won a World Innovation Award at Nuremberg, Germany. And it is now, by the way, in case you guys don't know, so you can patronize her. I'm sure we're probably going to talk a bit more about it right now, but it is now listed in the high street giant Holland and Barrett's, which is amazing. I'm talking like over 600 stores nationwide. So tell us a bit about your journey with Jitterbug apple cider vinegar tonics and how you grew to where it is now.
Right. So I love the fact that you mentioned that we were fulfilling need. So about 6 years ago, I lost a lot of weight. I had some health issues that needed to be addressed, either by surgery or, you know, by losing weight. So because surgery was not 100% clear that would fix it, I thought, okay, why not try to lose weight? So I think the journey started with me just trying every and anything to lose weight. And then you quickly find out that it's easier to gain the weight than to lose it. You know, you just eat all these things, but to shed it is a whole drama in itself. But luckily
So
for
where did you
me,
go from to? What weight did you start at? And then
so
where
I
did you?
started at 84 kg, and
Wow.
in 3 months lost about, well, in 3 months I was like 62 kg, so it was about 20.
What?
Yeah, it was crazy. It was just in 3 months. And this just really goes to show you what the power of the mind, and when you really fix your focus on something that you really want to do it. So I went from a size 16, 18 to a size 8, literally. And it was amazing because within 3 months, I discovered a lot more things about myself that I knew, that I thought I knew, basically. So basically, I realized that I can do anything. I realized that there was this fabulous new person that was super confident. I had always thought about myself as a confident person, but there was this little woman inside there that was like, yeah, this is me. And I just discovered a whole new me that just losing weight really afforded. And it just made me more important in my eyes, my opinions, my thoughts, my everything I wanted to do than what everybody else threw at me. And I really felt that every woman deserved to own that. So I started Skinny Cook because at the time I was like, you're confident. Wait till you find this other person. And then you would know that there are levels to this confidence game. And you know, I really got passionate about it and went to learn about how food and drink affects your health and well-being. And I started Skinny Cook, with just basically advising women how to eat better, how to cook better, because it was really a change in my diet that led to my weight loss. So obviously at that point, I was like hooked on, well, not in the medical sense, but I was like one of those Coca-Cola loving, soft drink loving. And because I was having like a change to my whole eating habits, reducing sugars, I had to create something for myself that was similar. So fizzy, sweet, but not overly sweet, no added sugar. I started playing in my kitchen with different things, the same way I was doing with foods. And I started basically making these things available to my friends to buy. So from the coconut flours and the rest of it. So we making the drinks in my kitchen and all of that. The food was going well. People were buying, and then, you know, the question was, oh, how about drinks? What do you drink? Water gets boring and blah blah blah. And I'll be like, in fact, I still have some of the videos on YouTube, and I'll make the videos obviously free of charge. Why don't you mix this? Use sparkling water and this and that. And people be like, oh, I didn't get it right. And I just thought, oh, might just be a good idea to just try it out. So went to an MPD kitchen. We developed it and tried it out at a show. And the very first iteration, I remember people saying, because obviously at that time, 6 years ago, apple cider vinegar was like, whoosh. Everybody hated it, but was trying it because we were all desperate to do anything to lose weight. So apple cider vinegar.
No, I was just going to say that I still remember, you know, going out on a walk, maybe my, because I try to do like a 90-minute walk as often as I can, almost every day. And I'll try and take some water that has apple cider vinegar in it. And oh my goodness, it was the worst time of my morning.
You'd have to spread it over the day like, okay, my apple cider vinegar. So the idea for me then was, how come everything that is good for you tastes horrible? So the challenge for me was,
good question.
Let's make food and drinks that actually are fun and functional, good for you, but also taste amazing. So that was the challenge for me. And coming up with the drink and creating something that would fit under the sparkling drinks niche, which ended up winning us the innovation award, because we were like, why didn't we think about that? And sometimes, you know, even I didn't even know that we could win such an award, because to me it was just, yeah, let's just do this and do that, make it taste better, balance out the taste with other flavors, this. I didn't think I was being innovative. I just thought I was doing something that I needed for myself. But that was a good thing for us. And decided to see if the world wanted it, did some shows, got some feedback. Oh, yeah, we like it, but we need it to be sweeter. We need it to be this. Went back to the table to, you know, work on it a bit more. And then came back out with this, rebranded it. We were called Skinny Cook initially. But because I wanted this drink to fit in, not only with people trying to lose weight, but I wanted it to be an alternative to sit next to my favorite drink, Coke, of that time. I wanted it to be an option that people would have. That you go out to the store, there's Coca-Cola there, there's Jitterbug, there's other drinks, and you get to make the choice you want. If you want to go with Coca-Cola, good. But if you want a soft drink that's equally as good, Jitterbug. So that was my thinking, and so we separated it and created this new brand, and thank goodness. We are listed in Holland & Barrett. So please go into the store, like T said, and grab you one.
Absolutely. I'm actually going to do that today or tomorrow, because we have a Holland & Barrett in our high street. I've been wanting to do it, but because I've been really busy this week, I was like, I want to get one and actually taste for myself. So what you've done really is you have taken your adventurous spirit into the kitchen. You have just like... as a chemist will do, you've just like put all sorts of things together and created something. But again, it was as a result of a need. So I'm curious. I have an idea, Bob, because I can hear it in some of the salient things you've said already. But what really drives you and keeps you going?
I think for me, I think it gets a little bit deep. I spend a lot of time with myself. I'm one of those people that enjoys my own company. Love my husband, love everybody. But I really cherish those moments where I hear myself thinking. And when I hear myself thinking, I listen to myself about the things that are important to me. It's important to me that I live a life that I feel, by my own standards, is given of myself. And it's important to me that, you know, generally in life, I leave a legacy, because I'm very aware that everything has an expiry date, including my life. And as much as I know that I will be here and I will be gone, legacy has always been important to me. When I go, I don't just want to be erased off the face of earth and be forgotten forever. How would the world know that I was here? And it's always mattered to me to want to leave a footprint. So to me, I think everything I do in mind thinking, this is going to bless a generation after me. And it's going to mean that me being here for that however long or however short period would have been worth it, just because I got to handshake another generation through my drinks, through my food, through anything else. So I think that's really important to me. And to some people, it might be a little bit too deep, but that's what really keeps me going. Just the thought of legacy.
Not that deep at all. No, so it is very deep, but it's what I'm trying to say is it is essential. It's essential. A lot of us, unfortunately, we are sleepwalking through life and don't spend time really thinking about legacy. You talked about legacy. You talked about leaving something for the next generation and not having your name being completely wiped out, you know, from eternity. I know we are looking forward to eternity. And for those of you who don't know, again, I know we've said it many, many times that obviously from a Christian standpoint, because I'm Christian and Bola is actually Christian as well, it turns out, which is great. But we do believe in eternity, and we believe that we're here for a purpose. And yes, it's just sad to see that. And I mean, everyone is here for a purpose, and it's not just Christians or Muslims or people who don't have any faith at all. We're all here for a purpose. And Absolutely. Sadly, some of us don't wake up to that realization until it's too late. And there's a book, her name is escaping me now. I think, it's Brioni something, I think. She was a palliative care nurse who so she takes care of people in at the end stage of their lives. And she had this opportunity to have conversations with them. And one of the questions she used to ask was if there was anything that they regretted in their lives. And most people always said that, you know, they didn't do this enough, they didn't do that enough, they didn't, you know, they wish they had done that. And I guess, like you, you know, I want to leave Earth empty, if that's even possible.
Absolutely.
With
Absolutely.
Nothing, you know, that nothing in me that has been deposited in me, which is another reason I started the Girl Unlimited podcast, because I do believe that we have been given, not only are we, do each of us have a purpose for which we're here, but we've been given unlimited potential, most of which it will take an eternity to tap into. So why are we wasting any time not doing it?
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? But going through life, as we all know, especially for people who have, you know, like you and I, who have our hands in a lot of pots, we get burned from time to time. So I guess my question to you now is, how do you personally handle disappointments or when things don't go the way you hoped they were going to go?
Okay. I cry a lot. Well, for me,
honestly,
like,
you're my sister from another mother. I'm genuinely shocked that we have this much in common, really.
Oh yeah, I let the waterworks flow, and I think it's good for us. I think God put it there for a reason. For me, tears is cleansing of the soul, of the eyes, of the thinking, because when you go down to where the tears come from, you touch base with your soul and you're like, this really went badly wrong, or this really went really, really good. So cry when I'm happy, cry when I'm sad, cry when I'm thinking or when I'm lost. And what that really helps me to do is it just helps me clarify and be honest with myself. Where could I have done it better? What could I do different? And then it also helps me abandon myself in the hands of my creator. Because for me, as you mentioned, I'm a Christian. And I always just believe that whether you're a Christian or not, deep down inside, you know that there's somebody out there that's bigger than you, that can handle and see things. Because just the way life is set up, I find it difficult to believe that, you know, everybody just got here by chance and we're all just chancing it and passing. There's a bigger picture to this thing. We don't know what it is right now. And if you're not a Christian, you might not really connect with it, but there is a bigger picture for me. And when it just gets to that point where it's a disappointment, I just let it go after the tears and I just wait for the lesson that I need to learn out of it. But for me, generally, I think I've kind of like, I don't want it to sound negative, but I think for me it's positive, because I've completely taking on board that whole idea of failing forward. When you fail, it's not really a failure. It's a lesson in how not to do certain things, how to try other things, and it pushes you forward. So the failure is not really meant to keep you where you are and just be like, oh, I failed. It's supposed to be like, okay, that's not working. And it pushes you forward. So I've really taken that on board. And I always have lessons from whatever I've done in the past that is taking me to the next place. So that makes me completely not afraid to fail, because I know that I'm going forward with, you know, my life generally. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's amazing. Just before you started talking about that, I just kept thinking about something you said just a little earlier when you talk. So, you know, you talk about tears being a cleansing process for you. And then previously you just touched on how very in touch with yourself you are. And just from your answer just now, I can see how very in touch you are with yourself and with an external being on the outside that you know is bigger than you. So I guess I'm wondering, how does one, maybe you can obviously say from a personal standpoint, but how does one grow in self, in their self-awareness? I have come to realize how very important, we were talking about just sleepwalking through life a little earlier. And I think the antidote to that is actually being self-aware, being aware, you know, and not being, so is to me, it's the opposite of being asleep, is being aware, you're awake. How do you ensure that you stay self-aware?
I think there's a Yoruba adage, I'm Nigerian and Yoruba, there's a Yoruba adage that says that he who owns a matter knows what to do about the matter. So I've tried to translate it because what that means basically to me is that everybody's journey is unique. So as much as people can come to you in love and say, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that, you that the matter is all about actually has a voice inside of you that speaks to you, that wants the best for you and is telling you what to do. Prioritize that voice over anybody else's voice, because that's your connect to the being that created you. That's the compass that everybody has. That's how I handle life, because I know that people come to me and say, why do you want to make clothes? Da, 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 da. Focus on this, focus on, but you're not the one that gave me the gift. Mm-hmm. You're not the one that has the bigger picture as to what he wants to use this gift for. So as much as I know that you care about me, I know in my heart that doing this is going to propel me into where I need to be. Even if where I need to be is one thing, I've got to climb through these steps in order to get to that place I'm going. So what am I trying to say without confusing or losing you is prioritize listening to yourself so much. Okay, people say this and say that at you, but how do you really feel about it? How do you remember how many times you go out and you see something on the table and somebody tells you, pick up that phone, take it, you'll need it. And you're like, no, my bag is heavy enough. Mm-hmm. And then you get out and you needed just that one thing that your soul told you. That is how you should take your voice seriously. When you speak to yourself or you hear a voice within you, just don't think it's you hearing voices. That is your compass. There's, you know, it's like you thinking that. I know for a long time, everybody thinks that, oh, we came into this world, we don't know what to do. It's not true. We don't have a guide. You know, when you buy a phone, they tell you how to use the phone. Mm-hmm. Every guide you need is actually inside of you. You just have to learn to respect that guide and listen out for that guide. Yes, take people's advice on board, but ultimately, be bold enough to listen to you, because it will direct you to where you need to be. And it's not where your auntie needs to be. It's not where your uncle needs to be. It's where you, T, need to be. So prioritize that voice. That's what I try to do now. So when you give me advice, it might flow with where I need to be. But if it conflicts, you would know. There'll be a battle in your spirit. There'll be an unsettlement with everything that's coming at you. Mm-hmm. Find that position where you have peace, and that's where you need to be, no matter how much more difficult that walk is.
So have you always been aware of that voice within for you? Have you always been aware of the voice, or are there certain practices or certain habits that you have installed in your life to keep you aware of that voice, or to make that voice come across to you, or messages from that voice come across to you louder?
I think for me, like every other person, I prioritize society, I prioritize everybody else, and asking people what I need to do for a long time. And then just finding out that, you know, you just, people were like, oh, your voice is nice, sing. Yeah, this is it, do. And then you go with it that, well, he said I should do it. He said, and then you do all these things and you find that you're going around in circles. You're going around in circles. And then one day I just thought, how about if I just try to do it my own way? How about if I just trust myself a little bit and then just compare the results? Even if you go with the result of your peace of mind alone, that is worth more than $1 million. Peace is the most precious, intangible, I don't even know how to describe it, priceless thing you could ever have. If you prioritize your peace, you would know who to listen to. You would know how to listen. And I think over time, after running around, doing my mom's life, doing my sister's life, doing every other person's life, and don't forget, these people love you. They're not trying, but they're giving you info based on their fears. They're giving you info based on their own failures. Mm-hmm. And once you finish living their life and then realize that, what have I actually done for me? Mm. And once you start taking yourself seriously, you just practice, because it's hard. We've spent all our lives waiting for somebody to advise us, mom to tell us where to go. And then one day you're like, it's all down to me. It takes a whole lot of confidence in yourself and knowing that, yeah, if I fail, I'll start again. And just knowing that, you know, as long as you're alive, there'll always be another chance. So for me, I think it was just a matter of, I feel like I lost 20 years of my life to just being other people. And I've got to a stage in my life now that I'm looking back and I'm like, if only I trusted my own voice. If only I, because we always have an inkling to what we need to do. But then you always prioritize other people and think that they're smarter than you. When it comes to your matter, trust me, nobody's smarter, because you know yourself. You know the things that break you. You know the things that make you. You know, I always have this conversation with my husband that he says, I can't multitask when I'm doing one thing. When I'm doing one thing, that thing has me 1,000%. If anybody tries to talk to me while we're having this, I can't break myself and say, oh, yeah, and then carry on. I give you 1,000%. That is how I approach my life. But he doesn't get it, because he has the skills to do, like, if you go and meet my husband and he's talking, he'll keep having this conversation and he'll have hand movements and he can do it. I can't. I'm never going to try to be like him because I'm going to fail. So know you for who you are and never let anybody else impose their strength on you. Look at your own strength and work within your strength. Realize your weaknesses and respect those weaknesses as boundary lines. Don't say, well, Sean can talk and do this and then you go and try and do it. You're going to make a mess of it. And it's just practicing to respect you. And for me, I think that's just been it. I have such great respect for my own opinions. It doesn't matter if somebody says, oh, yeah, it's not valid. I respect it, because in the premise of everything that's going to happen to me, that's what's going to give me freedom. Where I need to run out, where I need to run, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, Sean jumped over. I can't even jump. So my own head will tell me the alternative to jumping. And that's how it's supposed to be, I think, for every human being. When people say respect yourself, it's not about, oh, the way people speak to you or this or this. It's about you respecting your own opinions, even when it doesn't fit into popular beliefs. Just saying, well, you're going to go that way. I'm not going to go that way. This is just me. And just loving you for who you are. Because that's how God made us. He made us different.
So then, from the standpoint of a woman who has multiple, you know, ventures, as it were, because you are you are a multi-passionate, multifaceted individual. You talked about, you know, concentrating on one thing at a time. Is that how is that how you have managed to navigate your multiple interests? Is it that you focus on them one at a time, or how have you managed to do it? So you're singing, the designing, so obviously you also have Tote London, which we didn't we haven't even talked about, but and obviously there's Jitterbug and all these other these aspects of you and your brand. How have you managed to navigate life with all these things without literally going mad?
Do you know, the thing is, when you say focus on one thing, it sounds really contradictory when I'm doing quite a lot of things. So what I meant there is, there's one thing that I've actually discovered about myself is the fact that I get these moments of, what should I call it, like peak creative bursts. So I could just have this day of, I remember during lockdown, I was so bored of life, of everything. And the only thing that my mind could think about was just making clothes. I went to get my sewing machine out and I started cutting up fabrics and I just started making beautiful things. And for me, I've come to respect those moments of creative bursts that today my mind wants to sew. Please don't ask me to cook on that day because I will make a mess of it. And I will be miserable because I think this is the life of creatives, because sometimes people look at creatives and this is why I absolutely love artists, because people think, oh, yeah, I'm going to draw and then you draw today. I'm going to write and then you write today. They come like a wind. It comes like a burst. It comes like, whoosh, that was a bit much. And then, you know, you deliver. And then people are like, draw another one for me. That's not how it works. They get this creative moment. And again, it goes back to respecting yourself. When God blesses you with this moment, or when the universe, like people like to say, blesses you with this moment, please respect them. That's not the time you want to go out and have a party or whatever. Because guess what? You'll be at that party and you won't be there. It will only be your body there. Your mind will continue to be like, I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm supposed to be doing this. And it will keep repeating and you have a bad day. So when you get all this slap of, see, today you're going to edit all the, please just respect it and just do it that day. Because life has plans for you for tomorrow, the day after, and the day after. So for me, this is how it's worked. When I get creative bursts, I create clothes. When I get creative bursts to write a song, I just accept it like somebody giving you, like somebody pointing a gift at you like this, and you walk away and say that, that's not what I want. I want something else. I take it.
When God the muse has visited you. Yeah.
Yeah. I take that gift and I deliver. And then maybe luckily for me, because I don't work to seasons and stuff with my clothing line, I work to gifts. I work to how I'm blessed. I'm not going to create an outfit because I saw somebody else wearing it. I'm going to create an outfit because I saw this picture in my mind today that, oh my goodness, I feel blessed to have. And I think that's how we should approach life. And even just looking at ourselves as women, I don't know who lied to us that we should only be doing one thing. Because even as women, we are multifaceted. As mothers, you're looking after your child, you're cooking, you're doing this. You can do so many things. So who lied to us that we can only do one thing and we believed? So if you decided today to look after your friend's kids, to take them to school, you are so skilled at it. But we're so scared to give ourselves a label like, oh, I also look after kids. Because, oh, yeah, just something you do on the side. It shows a lack of respect for the one who gave us the gift and for the gift that we carry. And for me, it's still a lesson. I'm still learning to appreciate, to embrace, and to present to the world this gift that I was given that I'm so not worthy of. Because if you don't take it, guess what? Somebody else, how many times have you thought about an idea? You see that somebody else is doing it. And then you're like, she stole my idea. No, she didn't. She accepted the gift that, and I always, and this is my belief that when God gives a gift. He opens his arms. Whoever wants it, take it. So you see somebody that's delivered on an idea that you had, and then you're like, oh, I had that idea. Well, you walked away from it. You decided to go shopping instead on that day. So, yeah, I think we just need to take responsibility for all the gifts we get and what we do with it.
I'm learning so much from all that you're sharing, because I'm like, oh, okay. When I listen to this interview back, it is probably going to be for me and for everybody else, obviously, but it's going to be for me. So we're going to segue a little bit to your personal brand and your persona. Okay. So what you show us on social media. So I started, like I said earlier, I started the Girl Unlimited podcast to inspire women to break barriers and stereotypical expectations. And you are doing that in droves. You know, so you definitely have this very distinct brand, especially on social media. So from the vintage hair to the vintage dresses and the vintage car and the vibrant colors. By the way, guys, her designs, you know, I didn't know what it was initially. It's from hearing you speak about it now. I didn't know they were actually your designs. I thought you were probably modeling for a designer. So hearing that they are your designs, my admiration for you is just like shot off up the roof somehow. You know, it's amazing. So anyway, going back to this, you know, unapologetic, flamboyant persona that you put out there, what is the inspiration behind this?
Okay, so I'll tell you what. I've always I don't know, maybe it's because I'm number five. So my mom had six of us. And yeah. I've always been used to getting all these pass me downs. My sister will be like, okay. And then they'll pass it down. And then eventually I'm like, oh my goodness, these shoes are a bit wonky, but wear it. We all wore it. So I think I'd always, I spent the very first part of my life hating anything that was not perfectly new, because it meant that one of my sisters had given it to me. And then I think as I grew older, as I went into uni, I didn't mind my sister giving me like some funky tops that I'm not wearing it again, take. So maybe I think in my mind, maybe that kind of like opened up my mind to liking vintage, because I didn't see it as, and it was a time that most people be like, oh, vintage things, they're old, they're this. I just used to be like, it's got history. I just used to get passionate about it, because I'll look through the pictures and I'll see that my sister wore it when she was three and when she was, and it just used to give me goosebumps that, oh my God, I get to play a part in history. So for me, I kind of like embrace that, but I never really thought that it was a direction for me in terms of my life, my future. It was just that I didn't mind you giving me your old bag, I would rock it, you know. But I think as we went along, about 15-16 years ago now, I moved back to Nigeria, and I started to I wanted to record and document my experience coming back to Nigeria after being away for so long. So I had a blog called Seriously Donuts. And I used to write the blog and put it out there.
Woman.
It was crazy. And it was just the whole social scene in Lagos. And I just used to write about different people. But you know what that blog did? That blog opened up my eyes to the wickedness of people's hearts, because people would come and comment, and I'd be like, is it even possible to hate somebody this much? And they would, you know, I used to write about Nigerian celebrities, and I used to write about social scene, the parties, and people will come and be like, what's she wearing? She looks stupid. This, and I'll be like, it just used to shock me. And then I'll delete some of the comments and delete them. And I think there was a time
comments affect you? Did they have any impact or any... Did they affect you in any way?
At the time, the impact they had, it wasn't me generally. It just felt like I was the one saying these things because it was my blog. And if I accommodated them, I felt bad because some of the people, because for me, I'm all about love. I'm like, man, life is not that hard. Why are you hating on people, you know? So I always try to just see the lighter side of things. So with some of the things, if it was too deep, I'll delete them. And I didn't know that I was really cheesing off this person that was putting this comment. So there was a lady one time that I wrote about, because she had just moved back to Nigeria. And I was like, oh, she's moved back. She started a fashion brand. And I don't know if it's the same person. And this person just came and said, she didn't move back. She was deported. And I was like, wow. Oh my God, I can't post this. So I deleted it. And then the person laid in on me. And she was like, I see that you deleted my comment. You're blah, blah, blah. Look at you, ugly girl. You look like something from the 50s. And I was like, oh my goodness. That, you don't know how liberating that was for me, because I suddenly realized that that's where I've been going, because I've always liked the certain look. I've always loved Marilyn Monroe. I've always loved, it was like, till tomorrow, I kid you not, I thank this person, because it was like that person gave me a free pass, like,
wow,
to life, to who I'm supposed to be. And the way she wrote it there, like, you're so ugly, you look like something from the 50s. So I went to Google the 50s, and I'm like, yes, she knows me. This person knows me. And I'm telling you, I'm saying it with so much excitement, because for me, I think that person meant it to break me, but it really just made me realize that I was going in that direction, but I was all over the place. I'll buy new things. I'll buy this. I'll buy that. And if I find like a vintage bag, I'll carry it. But I don't know what it was she saw in my face that she thought I looked like something from the face. It must have been how I wore my hair or all of that. But to me, I just really let Google help me do the rest. Google 50s woman. And I'm like, yeah, in the 50s, women were women, man. And you know, the way they dressed. And I just really went in there. And just started having fun, just went overkill that, you know what, the women in the 50s were not ugly. So, hey, if I look like someone from the 50s and you say ugly girl, well, you got that bit wrong, but maybe the 50s, right? And that just got me excited. And I just really just went in. And you know, the amazing thing in the UK, if you decide today that you want to be anything you want to be, there's a group of people like you that you can... So in the UK, we've got like, there are different groups of people that are like into, you know, the whole vintage scene. There's one of the groups, the earlier groups I joined then, I think it was called British Belles, and everybody dresses the, you know, we all dress, and it's just such a, it just makes you feel like you're not on your own. So I just melted into it, and and
we have this woman to thank now.
I'm telling you, I can't wish you. I need to give her a big hug. Like, thank you. Because
talk of taking a negative situation and turning it into something positive. I mean, it just goes to show, I guess, the sort of person or the sort of work you do on yourself. Because I know a lot of people would not have seen that silver lining. They would have taken that comment and probably cried their eyes out, and then probably decided not to do the blogging thing any longer because of the hate they were getting. But just having the courage, I guess, to just look closely at a negative situation or a negative comment, and someone literally insulting you, and taking that to, and it's become this, it is created or giving you permission, as it were, to create this. Yeah. Persona you now have, which, you know, I is the first thing I noticed about you. You know, this is me talking as a, you know, a bystander, you know, someone who was looking at you from a distance. That was what caught my attention, because I was like, she is bold, especially when I saw your name was Bola Sings. I was like, first of all, she's Nigerian, and I know that from where we come from, if I can be bold to say, we are the peer pressure we suffer from. It's not just our children that suffer from it. It's adults, you know. So you don't want to feel like you are aside or apart from the pack. Because once you are singled out, it's not a nice feeling, generally speaking, as a Nigerian. So to stand out as much as you do, you know, doing what you do, is huge. It's huge. And I have a huge admiration for that. I'm being honest, you know. We all tend to be, we play safe. You know,
I know some of my friends hate the hair. They're like, one of my friends in particular, she's constantly sending me like, how about trying this hair? How about trying this wig? And I'm like, doing.
And they mean well.
And they're like, I don't like it. I'm like, but you know, I'm here for you. I'm like, but this is not about you. It's about me, Toy. I love you too, but I like this. you know, and I really enjoy it. It really just makes me feel like, I don't know, it just makes me feel like I occupy my own space. I respect myself. I respect what matters to me, and those things matter to me. And the more, you know, I delved into the 50s and into vintage and all of that, the more I found great enjoyment in it. I mean, when you go for vintage shows, it's amazing. The things you see and how you can connect it with history, it's just really fun. And yeah,
I love it. I love it. Well, there are people that would probably say, you know, that's, wow, she's so lucky, you know, that, you know, but we all know that we hardly look like what we've been through. So could you describe to us one of the biggest challenges you've experienced to date?
I think one of the biggest challenges is because of the fact that a lot of us and people that look like us, we're in a society where we do things on our own. We don't have a lot of mentors, so to speak. So you start a business, you really want to catch up with someone. There's nobody there. There's nobody doing what you do. And access to finance, access to investment, just the whole things that normal businesses go through, you go through it, but you don't even know where to start. I think that's probably one of my biggest challenges, just the lack of mentors and people like me in the industry, people like us, the color of our skin, you know. But having said that, I have to say that things have really, really changed. And it really makes me cry happy tears, because it feels like the doors are suddenly opening up for us. Mm. And unlike 5, 6, 10 years ago, where there was nobody out there that I could go to, there are now labels, you know, that enable them to give us 5 minutes, 10 minutes of their time. And also to consider putting, you know, our products out there as Black-owned businesses. Initially, it was a struggle for me because I wanted to be a business and not necessarily a label. But I'm starting to appreciate even just being called Black-owned, because it means that what I didn't have, somebody else coming after me will have it. So, and by that, what I mean is that if somebody else wants to start a food business, a drinks business, she knows that she's not going to be alone, because there's somebody out there carrying this placard that says Black-owned.
Absolutely.
And if you don't feel confident or comfortable to ask another person, or you don't even have the access, because it's not about not being bold to ask, is the access. When people are so successful, access to them is not like it used to be. It's not like you don't have their direct line. You always know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody. And I think I'm starting to really appreciate that label and appreciate everything else that's being born now around Black-owned businesses, and just being a Black face and just being a representation of us and where we can go. And I always say to people now that, please don't let, I'm Black, and don't let it hold you down again. That time has passed. I'm Black is a good thing now, because everybody wants to be Blacker than Black. You know, they know the quality of our work now, of our production, of our music, of our everything. You just have to be prepared to give and show your very best, because Black is not holding us down anymore. Black is, we still have some issues to work through, but we're in good times. It's not an excuse for us. Even the high street stores, you know, as we speak, they're setting up, you know, different schemes to bring on board Black-owned businesses into the high street, and giving us a leeway, knowing that we don't have any uncle to go to. We don't have any aunties. So they're teaching us and giving us that lifeline that, okay, this is how you do things, and hand-holding. That's priceless. I'm not going to even say that. It's a token, but it's a token that, trust me, I really appreciate now. So
absolutely.
So those were the challenges, but going forward, I think it's just a matter of making sure that, you know, the people that come after us don't have to go through the circles, mm-hmm. the 10-time circle. They just move up.
Absolutely. And what I was going to say is the fact that because we didn't have that, we can be that, you know, for other people that are coming up after us. Yeah. Absolutely. So what are you working on now, if you feel free enough to share? Because okay, I'm sure you have some other things up your sleeves.
Oh, yeah. There's some exciting things coming up. So within the Jitterbug space, I'm working with a fantastic group of people now that have been in the industry for such a long time, that are Black and are very successful. And they've formed a group where they're giving back and just helping with how the business is set up, how, you know, you get into more stores. So I'm really enjoying that. That's taking a lot of my time. And we're hoping to launch a few more products under the Jitterbug brand. With the Skinny Cook, also looking to launch more products. And there's something exciting on the beauty scene, because one of the things I did, oh my goodness, years ago, was that I went to Hollywood and I studied how to be a makeup artist. Never really worked with it. Just always
really?
Played with
it.
Yeah, so I'm a Hollywood trained makeup artist, if you like labels. So there's a beauty brand that is around the corner. But guess what? This beauty brand is going to be really exciting when I start. Because when I start, I want to start not alone. I'm going to start it as an open book. So anybody that wants to start a business, we're going to start it together, from branding to going to the manufacturer. So if you wanted to do something similar, you could be creating, we could be co-creating, you could be creating your own brand, and we're all keeping it, but we're all following like almost like a guide, almost like a template, where we go from creating to launching to getting on the stores to putting our products out there. And this is really important to me, because for me it's going to be the most fun thing I've done, because I love makeup, I love beauty, I love skincare, but I've never really plugged into it as a business. It's always been, oh yeah, I never show up without makeup. You would never catch me without makeup. And I'm not one of those people that will tell you that I'm a naturalista when it comes to my hair, but when it comes to my face, please, I'm not one of those people that know how to be like you, T, where you're like, oh yeah, my skin is glowing. Yeah, my skin is glowing, but it needs foundation.
I don't personally think my skin glows. I think I am just too lazy. I can't be bothered. Like, literally, when I think about the efforts, to be honest, this is probably going a little off topic, but I attend church on Sundays, right? So the one thing I do not like about attending church, if I'm 100% honest with you, is the fact that I have to make up. Because during the week, I tend not to do that.
I really respect that, because my mom hates makeup. She absolutely hates makeup. And the thing
is, I love the way I look. I just can't be bothered. That's why I use the word lazy.
And you know, this is the thing. When I see makeup artists as well that don't wear makeup, I'm like, come on, man. It's fun. For me, it's fun, because you can literally just play with the way you look, with a little bit of cheek powder here. You're like, oh, is that me? And I remember the first time, I think, because I never used to be like a makeup buff or anything for a long time. Mm-hmm. I did the course, yeah. But I remember when I had my first son, 17 years ago now. Oh my goodness.
Wow. And then, guys, she's got a teenager that's almost not a teenager anymore. And she doesn't look it, by the way.
A week after, I booked a photo shoot, and this makeup artist from MAC, her name is Samantha Lachelle. Oh my goodness. Samantha, I love you forever. I think Samantha changed my life. I literally went for this shoot, and she did my face, and I looked in the mirror, and I just burst out crying. Oh, is that me? Is that me? And I think that's what did it for me. And I'm like, I'm never showing up again without getting the best out of this face. For me, it's just that little polish here and there. So I really love makeup. I think it's fun. And whilst it's not like a makeup line, it's more like skincare and all of that. I think it'd be really fun. And I'm really looking forward to doing it with other people, because I know so many people that have great ideas, but they don't know where to start. And they're not probably personality-wise adventurers. They're not, you know, and I don't think that should always necessarily be a stumbling block for them. So I'm hoping that this would be like something I do that in a way gives back and helps other people discover their side. So we'll be creating brands together. Maybe you're doing something different, but at least just that process, knowing the process to follow, to create your logo, create your website, something really simple to actually launch in. And we'll have a launch day where we all launch our different products. I think that alone is really exciting me, because
I am excited like- just hearing it. I'm excited when any group of women, you know, whatever it is, whoever they are, come together, especially Black women, when they come together and they do something that is innovative, something that is creative, something that will help other people who are, you know, looking for such, because I'm sure you're going to be catering, because I know you say you're working with Black people. I know you're probably going to be catering because we need more products for our ourselves, you know, in the market. So, you know, and that just blows my mind. I've always seen, you know, especially when women work together, it's we shouldn't try to be in competition with each other. We should complement each other. We should cooperate with each other. You know, so just coming together and doing. I say about myself that as much as I understand the whole competitive world thing, and I know that there is healthy competition and all, I very much prefer collaboration. You know, I very much prefer collaboration because there's so much more we can achieve. There's you bring your strengths and you help to buffer my weaknesses, and I bring my strengths and I help to buffer your weaknesses, and we can achieve so much more together than if we're trying to do the same thing and run the same race, if you know what I mean. I know, and it's all that uniqueness and all the, you know, coming together in this big melting pot, and it creates something, it creates magic.
I think we're learning as well, because for certain ethnicities and all of that, they get it. They've been doing it for years. They're there for one another. And we are starting to learn that. So I'm just saying, yes, onwards and upwards. And I really hope that we because in fairness, we had this fear from when we were young. Don't let people know what you're doing. If they know, they're going to steal it. Da, 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 da.
This is survival instinct thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Doggy dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, if you look at, even within Nigeria alone, I just look at Igbos. And I have a friend, she has this Igbo group of women. And they have this day that they connect and they just share ideas, and you know, they're just literally giving to each other and they're teaching each other how to do well in business. And I'm constantly begging my friend, please let me join. Let me join. I can pretend to be evil. She's like, they will catch you. You know, I really just the whole, and if you look at it back to when we were young, Igbo women were always doing this. They were like, they'll get together and they would try to do, they'll get stuff and go and sell it in the market. And you know, as Yorubas, it was not something, when Yoruba women got together, it was for us to do Pepe Dem Gang, you know, and all of that. With you know,
Pepe Dem guys.
So it's something that we're learning as well, and I think it's just something that we have to just learn to give of ourselves, and not just of that showing off of, hey, look at me, I'm the shiniest tool. I'm the one that just got an award. What does that mean to the next person? It means absolutely nothing if you can't change their life, if they don't know what to do. And you know, so I think that that's the most exciting thing for me, that I'm going to get to share that product development journey with somebody else. And for me, it makes you feel less of like, oh, I'm starting another business kind of thing, or that pressure of, oh, I've got another label. For me, it just feels like something social and something that's going to, even if at the end of the day I decide not to commercialize it, there'll be somebody, one person out there that'll be like, I've always wanted to do this. And to me, each one, bless one. That's more than
absolutely. Each one, bless one. That is a fantastic place to literally end the interview. Each one, bless one. Guys, I've been speaking to the very colorful, incredibly multi-talented, beautiful Wonder Woman that is Bola Obileye. And I'm sure you'd agree that it's just been fascinating delving into bits and pieces of her life and her journey. So, Bola, where can we find and connect with you?
You can find me at Bola Obileye. That's BolaObileye on Instagram. Jitterbug, if you want to check out our drinks, at jitterbug.life. If you want to cook a little bit, check out at skinnycookinc. And if you want to find out where I do my fashion bits, you can check out Tote London. I think it's at Tote Londoner, E-R, on Instagram. You can DM me. I tend to check my DM mostly on my Bola Obileye handle. And yeah, check our websites as well. So yeah, whatever questions, please feel free to follow. And yeah, it'd be nice to hear from you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on the Girl Unlimited podcast, Bola.
Thank you so much for making me feel unlimited. Now I'm going to go away and be like, T interviewed me. Now I'm unstoppable.
Thank you.
I am unlimited. I need to get a t-shirt. Unlimited chick.
Oh, do you know? I'm actually considering doing a t-shirt line. It's been in my mind. So I have ordered one just to check what it's going to look like. So before I can order more.
Please,
so
I need I'll one. Keep you posted. I need to wear it. Say T said I'm unlimited. Therefore I am.
Amazing. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You, my friend, are a total rock legend for listening to this episode to the end. I hope you found value in it. And if you did, would you do me a quick favor? Would you rate and review this podcast on the platform you're listening? And if the platform you're listening doesn't have the facility to rate and review, then please share the episode with your friends and your loved ones. It would go such a long way in helping spread the word of this podcast. And until next time, remember you're a unique, remarkably created person with a God-given purpose and unlimited potential. The question is, what are you going to do about it?
That nothing will become of me, that I'll never come to end.